All right. Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is lesson number 7 of God's Gym. This is the second to the last one. We'll have one more after this. And today we're going to stretch everybody a little bit, which is going to be great. It's going to be great. So last week was talking about faith, about believing God and being able to believe for something that does not exist at all in our lives, and to be able to take the word of God and to take what he shows us and to let go of what we call real now and to transfer our idea of reality from what it is now in the moment, in the natural, to what we're believing God for in the spirit, until that which is unseen grows up to be seen. So that's what we learned last week. And so today what I want to do is I want to focus in on the presence of the Lord, the physical, tangible presence of the Lord. How many of y'all know we can practice being in the presence of the Lord? How many of y'all can say, yes, I've heard about practicing the presence of the Lord. Yes, I know it's good. No, I don't do it as much as I should. Right? So that's the one thing about going to the gym with a partner. You tend to do a little better when they're standing right next to you, you know? So this is another one of the exercises for God's gym, which is going to be stepping into the presence of God. So I'm going to give you some verses and do a little bit of teaching, and then we're going to go ahead and do some exercises, okay? So how many have heard the term practicing the presence of God? How many have you gotten to the place when you have done it that the physical, tangible presence of God surrounded you while you were doing it? Okay. Do you know that we are actually capable of walking in that all the time? Do you actually know that we're supposed to be doing it and walking in it all the time? I mean, according to the Bible. Just maybe not according to the church, but according to the Bible, it's God's intention that we walk in his presence with him all the time. Amen? All right, so let's just look at some verses and we'll go from here. Because I'm going to start off easy so I don't take you off the edge of a cliff right away. So I'm going to try to get some groundwork in, and then we're going to go for the gusto. All right? So let me just start off by saying this. This is by faith. Okay? This is by faith. Now, when you start something by faith, how much manifestation do you have when you just start by faith? None. Because you're calling something that does not exist as real as if it does exist as real, right? But I want to teach you how your body works. Your body follows you. Your body believes you. Your body will do what you believe is true. Okay? Women, or a mom, you can say, gets in a wreck and sees someone she loves trapped under the vehicle, can have supernatural strength for a moment because she does it without thinking. She lifts up the car and grabs her loved one out from underneath the car. Okay? Supernatural strength for a moment. They say because of the adrenaline rush. I say it's because they've lost their mind. They've lost their self-awareness. And what needed to be done was so high on their scale of importance that endorphins or adrenaline or whatever it needed to do, their body, bang, produced it right there on the spot to accomplish that thing. Your body will follow your dominant beliefs. It's just the way it is. Whatever your dominant beliefs are, your body will reflect that when it comes to your physical body. I'm going to teach you how to get into the presence of God. What is not happening is that God's presence is not getting stronger in the atmosphere because you're practicing his presence. Something else is happening. You are becoming heightened in your awareness of the reality of the presence of God. Are you with me? Once you get your tuner tuned in, then you can fine-tune your tuner. You can stay on that channel, okay? What happens is a lot of us got sloppy dials, and what happens is you'll be tuned into the channel, and you'll be focused there, and all of a sudden the channel will flop over to another channel. Something will come into your life and steal your attention. Your channel just switched. It's annoying, but, oh, this channel isn't so bad. You get distracted and off your focus goes, okay? Practicing the presence of God, you have to teach your flesh that what you're doing is real. And then your flesh will start engaging with you, okay? But it's got to be real to you. That's why a Christian is a very peculiar kind of a person. They actually believe first and have the manifestation second. The world needs the manifestation first, and then they will believe because they can prove in the natural the manifestation. Okay? A Christian is just the opposite. A Christian believes first, and then it manifests in the physical realm. Okay? So let's go through some scriptures so I can validate what I'm telling you. Psalms 91, verse 1. Of course, I didn't get far enough. All right. Psalms 91, verse 1. Very famous scripture. Let's look at what it says. All right? Some of the Bible you have to take literally. This one you can take literally. Okay? He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, stop. Can we dwell in a secret place that belongs to the Most High? Okay, so we're capable as sons and daughters of God, which are all sons, we're capable of actually dwelling in a secret place of the very Most High. The Almighty. That's not the high, the very, very most high in his dwelling place. We're allowed to be in his secret dwelling place. Let's go on. Let that sink in. There is a place like that, and he's made it available to you. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That means you will stand in his presence or lay down in his presence or sit in his presence, but you will be in his presence. After the recording, I'll take answers and comments. Go ahead and write it down. Okay, so then let's go over to verse 9. It says, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, 10, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. He shall give his angels charge over you and keep you in all your ways. Not his ways, your ways. All right? So, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. So, according to Psalms 91, David is telling us what? The Lord is supposed to be our dwelling place. We were created, according to David, to be able to come into the presence of the Lord and dwell there. Are you with me? How many of y'all experience that on a regular basis? Two of you. All right. Great. Let's move on a little bit. This is exciting. This is very, very exciting. So let's go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Because dwelling in the secret place of the Most High is not a place that men have made. It's not a temple. It's not a church. It's not this building. It's not. Where is it? 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Ready? Good. Starting in verse 9. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me just look at this second. Yes, it's chapter 2. Sorry, I gave you the wrong chapter. Give him a second to catch up to us. So it's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Y'all got Bibles? Okay, then I'm going to let him go ahead and catch up to us. It says, "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the hearts of men the things which God has prepared for those who love him." Okay? Nobody's thought of it, hasn't come to anybody's mind. Nobody could even find these things out. "But God has revealed them to us." How? Through his Spirit. His Spirit. "For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man, which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which men's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches." Look at this. "Comparing spiritual things with spiritual." Are you with me? This is not natural. It's not earthly. It's spiritual things with spiritual. Okay? "The things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." All right? Right there's where we lose you. Because you can't do this without being awake. It's spiritually discerned. It is Spirit teaching you spiritual things. All right? It is not natural wisdom. It is not natural biology. It's none of those things. This is going to be by faith completely. And as we do it by faith, believe it or not, as you start operating by faith in these things and keep going there and keep going there, pretty soon your attention will shift to that place. And as it shifts to that place, it will become your dominant way of seeing and learning by the Spirit. Your dominant way. Okay? A lot of Christians are carnal Christians. I'm not saying any of you are. And if you are, you're on your way to be not carnal, being spiritual, which is non-carnal. That means you don't operate by your five senses and feelings of your flesh. You operate by the reality of the Spirit of God showing you and teaching you. You operate by the Spirit leading you. You're able to discern spiritual things. You're able to know spiritual things, and you're able to follow the Holy Spirit. Okay? Go with me to Galatians real quick. I just want to show you something. I'm going to show you a couple of verses real quick that are not on my list. In Galatians chapter 5. In Galatians chapter 5, it says in verse 16, ready? It says, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." Walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Romans chapter 8 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who walk according to the Spirit." Okay? So here it says you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh, and there's no condemnation in you by walking according to the Spirit. So what is that saying? That your flesh and your flesh identity has nothing to do with this. The way you were raised has nothing to do with this. The troubles that you've suffered have nothing to do with this. The stains or blemishes you believe are in your soul have nothing to do with this. You cannot be barred from participating in spiritual things because of the way you were raised or what you've lived through. You will not be barred. You will not be hindered. None of that has anything to do with operating in the Spirit. All right? That's why it's fair for everyone that we have all died in Christ. Are you with me? That way, there's nothing the devil can tell you that can stop you from operating full blast in the kingdom of God. There's nothing. There's no sin you could have sinned. There's no deed you could have done. There's nothing that could have happened to you or broke you so bad that you cannot come into the presence of God. Jesus made you clean by his Spirit being in you. His Spirit has purified you. And it's by the blood of his cross, right? So therefore, we can all want, none of us are disqualified from 100% coming into the presence of God. But I'll tell you this, even if your conscience does tell you that you can't come into the presence of God, you can quickly say, God, forgive me for whatever your conscience is telling you. God, please forgive me for that and wash me from the condemnation that I've carried, and then step into the presence of God. Okay? You can do that. You can say, Father, I just place that on the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord took that for me, and you can give it to him. If there's anything that the devil is using to stop you from being able to full blast go in where I'm going to show you, okay? Seriously, I'm not kidding. This is important. He will try to make your mind flutter with stuff. He will try to make you feel emotional. He will try to condemn you. He will try to make you feel that somehow you are inferior to being able to do this and get into the presence of God. Okay? It's all a lie. You need to go for it anyway. You need to talk to yourself and go for it anyway. And here's the great thing, you guys. Even if in some strange way you happen to get into the presence of God with some kind of filth or shortcoming on you, guess what? The presence of God himself will purify you. It'll purify you. Because I'll tell you this right now. I know him personally. And I bet you guys do too. And I want to let you know something. He has never, when I have come into his presence, condemned me over anything. Nothing. In fact, the Lord Jesus introduced me to the Holy Spirit. I think I've told a bunch of you guys this. And I'll tell you what. I was so ashamed. I asked the Holy Spirit, please forgive me for all the times I've neglected you, all the times that I've ignored you, the times that I have troubled you in any way. And you know what? He let me ramble on and say everything that was in my heart and get it all off my chest. Then you know what he said to me? He never even addressed that I shared all that with him. He went right into, there's some things I want to show you. Isn't that crazy? That's how good they are. I'm telling you, they are all, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are wonderful. They want us to learn how to come into his presence all the time. Are you with me? Amen. So now let's go to Isaiah 26. Let's go to Isaiah 26:3. Are you there? It says in Isaiah 26:3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever. He will keep you in perfect peace. He will keep you in shalom, shalom, perfect peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken, completely whole and fulfilled. He will keep you in that whose mind is stayed on him. That word mind is yastar, which means imagination. Okay? When you keep the part of you that sees the pictures, that leads you in your way, and everybody's led by the pictures, that's just how we're built. I shared this many times with y'all. You can't even get home from here, from this spot in this pew, without pictures leading you. You can't do anything without pictures leading you. They do. That's how you're led, is by pictures and by the words of your heart and the direction that rises up from inside of you. It's just the way we're made. So when we have that person's full attention on God, that person will be in perfect peace because we trust the Lord in that situation. Are you with me? Which is like Psalms 91, dwelling under the shadow in the secret place. Where's the secret place? Go ahead, shout it out, somebody. No, where is the secret place? There's actually a place that's the secret place of the Most High, you guys. There really is a secret place. Huh?
Christ in us, the hope of glory.
Christ in us, the hope of glory. That's absolutely true, but I'm not going to say that's the right answer. Go with me. Let me say this one. Colossians 3:2. Set your affections. Set your affections or your minds on things above, not on the things of the earth. That word is phroneo, and it really does mean to have understanding or to be wise, to set your mind, which means to exercise the mind, to actually exercise your mind by deliberately making it pay attention to something. When it says set your affections or set your mind on things above and not on the things on the earth, it means you have to literally take your attention and deliberately start thinking on certain things, which is where God is in heaven. Again, I want to put these things together. Our imagination, the place of conception, the place where ideas are hatched and reality starts life. That thing, we set our minds or our affections, the things that we desire, the things that we love, those things on the kingdom of God. These things are spiritually discerned. It is not of the natural mind. It is not of the natural man. Okay? They only come from the Spirit of God, the deep things that are in the Spirit. All right? I'm trying to bring you around to how is this possible and where do you think the secret place is? Go with me. It's like a little puzzle. Let's put it all together. Psalms 24. Yeah, but before we read Psalms 24, Carlos, would you put up James chapter 4, verse 7 through 10? Put your finger on Psalms 24, starting in verse 3, and then switch over, and then open it back up and go to James chapter 4. Are you with me? James chapter 4, we're going to start in verse 7 to 10. Okay? You got your finger in Psalms 24, verse 3 and on? All right. In James, this is what it says. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. What does it mean to submit to God? What does it mean to submit to God? Keep your mind, think on, okay? It means when you submit to something, that means you come under its authority. You resign yourself to its What's the inferiority? Inferiority? I don't know what the superiority. Superiority, okay? You resign yourself to following them. You know? Wives, submit to your own husbands. You let them lead. Okay? When we submit to God, what are we doing? We are resigning ourselves to his leadership. When we submit to God and resist the devil, he leaves. Right? Look at the next verse. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. We talked about this. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. So if you're doing something that's sinful, stop. Just stop. Ask God to forgive you and move on. Just stop and move on. Okay? Once you stop and move on, it can't stop you from getting in the presence of God. Because your conscience won't condemn you anymore. When your conscience doesn't condemn you, you have access to the presence of God. Going on. And cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts. What? You double-minded. What is the double-minded person? That's exactly what it says in the beginning of this chapter. It says that a double-minded man should suppose to receive nothing from the Lord. He is unstable in all his ways. Right? So purify your hearts, you double-minded. Okay? So what does he mean, purify your hearts, you double-minded? All right, I'll tell you. Double-minded means to be twice soulish, or to have be two-spirited is how Strong says it. But the word psuche, which is breath, which means is your soul or your life, okay? So don't have two lives. Don't be vacillating back and forth. Kingdom of heaven is my life. No. The kingdom of this earth is my life. No. The kingdom of heaven is this life. No, I'm believing God for this. But no, in the earth realm, these are the rules that we live by in the earth. But in the heaven realm, these are the rules that we live by. Vacillating back and forth. Saying you have faith, but then all your natural stuff starts kicking in and starts saying, well, but that's not what the doctor said. Other people, you know what? That's just not common sense to do that. You need to eat this way for health. Okay? The natural comes in, and what happens? You start vacillating back and forth. When you do that, you don't receive anything. Okay? It voids it out. All right? So God's telling us how to come into his presence, how to draw near to him, how to actually get closer. Okay? So what we need to do is stay ourselves. In other words, I'm going to reiterate this. This is by faith. Okay? Some of you will be really, wow, I almost said an old word, will be lousy at it. Some of you will be really bad at it to begin with. Nothing will happen. It will seem like you're just making it all up. All right? That's only because your carnal senses are still leading. They're the most intact in this area. You may have other areas that Spirit leads you great in. But in this area, if it's difficult, it's just keep practicing, keep practicing, keep pressing in, okay? You'll get it, I promise. Look at the next verse. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. That seems random. Let me just say, a stumpism. This is what I think. I'm not saying this is as a scholar will agree with me, okay? I'm just saying from doing this. In other words, you're double-minded, let's just say, and you're going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. You've been participating in some sinful things that hurt your conscience, but now you've decided to stop it and all. So what's happening is a person whose attention is in the natural realm as reality, they who are laughing and having a great time start mourning because they don't know how to press in this area. They don't know how to do it. So what's all fun and everything in the natural, this stepping out in the Spirit's a little more difficult for them. It's not so easy. It says, lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. In other words, soberly, in humility, go for this. Really go for this, because look at the next verse. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. And what does it say? He will lift you up. He will lift you up. All right, if you're with me so far, now I'm walking out towards the edge. All right? I didn't lead with this. We're building up to this. What does it mean that he will lift you up? He will encourage you, maybe? He'll make you feel better, maybe? What does it mean he will lift you up? He'll console you, maybe? Absolutely not. That is not at all what it means. It means that he will bring you up to where he is. Jesus ascended on high. This lifting up is on high. I don't have enough time to give all these verses, but I just want to let you know. It is being lifted up on high. And a lot of people, okay, we're going to get ready to go for it, Lord. Give them grace. Give them grace, give them grace, give them grace. I have you here in James chapter 4. Move over to Psalms 24. Psalms 24 is where this section of James 4 came from. All right? So this is where this section of James 4 came from, in Psalms 24. Are you with me? I'm going to start in verse 3. Psalms 24, verse 3 to the end, to verse 10. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in his holy place? Remember the secret place of the Most High in Psalms 91? Okay. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. Doesn't that sound like what we just read in James? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive blessings from the Lord, blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Well, that sounds good. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him. Who seek your face. This is God's face. Selah. Think about this. There's a generation that is seeking God's own face. Okay? That's when you're coming into the presence. Whose face are you seeing? You're coming into their presence. In other words, if I'm in my office and you walk into my presence, where are you walking to? Into the front of me, right? You're walking into my countenance, into my face, into my space, right? Because your intention is to stand before me when you come into my office. So when we come into the presence of the Lord, we're coming to him himself. To him himself. It's not just a ooey, fuzzy little feeling in the atmosphere. It is the Lord himself. We are deliberately going to go before God himself. Let me just talk about this second. Read on. Verse 7. Lift up your heads, O you gates. What? Who's he talking to? So, lift up your heads, O you gates. Do gates have heads? My backyard gate, does it have a head? What's a gate? It's a door, isn't it? It's a portal, a door, a gate, a access point, right? So, it sounds like he's calling us gates. It sounds like he's calling us these things. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting what? Doors. We're gates and we're doors. Huh, let's just think about this a second. I'm the door. I'm the gate. You're the door. You're the gate. You're the access point to the realm of the Spirit. You're the way in. You are. Let me just look at this. Starting in verse 7 again. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall what? I'm just relishing in the presence of God, just on those little lines right there. Think about this. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Where's the secret place? In me. The chamber of the Lord is in me. I am the access point or the doorway to heaven. I am the way into heaven. It's in me. So that's why you can't have a double-minded heart. You can't be vacillating back and forth. You really need to know that you are the answer you've been looking for because Christ is in you. The whole solution to all of it is inside of us. The secret habitation of God is in us. And we have to let that habitation, first of all, be real, and then that we walk in it till it goes from being in us to upon us. In other words, the access point to the kingdom of heaven is not the Holy Spirit dropping down upon us. It is He knocks on the door and we open it. He knocks on the door and we open it. Being lifted up. It's talking about being lifted up. Hebrews, being lifted up. You know what the Hebrew word is for lifted up? NASA. Interesting, huh? NASA. NASA means to... That's why they name all those rockets are created in NASA. Because they go... They ascend. So now here's where I take you over the edge. Some of you are used to being on the edge with me, so it's not a big deal. Are you ready? Okay, I'm trying to set this groundwork that everything is going to be easy. I'm just letting you know that. But the reality is we are spiritual, and we cannot let the physical feelings of our flesh, the trauma and the drama that others are having around us, that the devil would like to throw us into that lump also, the things that have happened to you in your past, the things that you've participated in to hurt others, it has nothing to do with this. That's all the stuff the devil uses to stop you from opening the door. From you being the doorway, you being the access point of heaven. God placed it in you. He called you gates and you doors, and He said, lift up your heads. Don't you be doing this stuff. Don't you be disqualified. You lift up your head. You walk strong. You walk tall. You walk confidently. You are the door to the kingdom of God. You are the access point. He created you to do that. That word lifted up, NASA, means to lift, to exalt, to take where Jesus was exalted on high. That's that word. It is not to make you feel better, to cheer you up. It is not that. It is to lift you up. Now, here's some things about the Spirit. Many people do not believe you're allowed to go in and out of heaven right now. They actually think that you have to die to go to heaven. Okay? They think that when this body fails, they will appear in heaven. Okay? That's absolutely true. But it's not exclusively the truth. We go in and out now. Because why? Is it because we have all this great power to lift ourselves up? No. It says he will lift us up. It doesn't say he will lift us up. What does that mean? I've been to heaven. I've met the Lord. I've had a lot of wonderful, exciting, and great for stories, experiences with the Lord. But 99% of them happened to me. God did it to me. He snatched me up. He pulled me up. He told me to come up. He did it. There was nothing in my maturity that made me go up. Let me give you an example. It's like a parent. A parent has a small child, okay? A toddler. They can walk around. They're the ones that say, "Mommy, let me tie my shoe. I can do it. I can do it. Let me tie my shoe." And they make a big mess of it, right? A toddler. If that toddler wants to be in its father's arms when its father's standing there, there's only one way that toddler's going to get into its father's arms. If the father reaches down and lifts him up and brings that toddler into his arms. It's the only way you're going to get a toddler up, right? When we're small, when we're ignorant, when we're desiring the things of God, but we're still small, he brings us up to him. He will bring you to heaven. He will bring you into his presence. He will show you. He will do it to you, for you. Just like a father does to a very small child. But that's not where we're supposed to live. The problem is a lot of the church is still very small children when it comes to the things of the Spirit of God and heavenly things. Okay? Now we're getting to get into real exercise that starts producing some serious results in our life. And that is that as we grow up, we start seeing our Heavenly Father eye to eye, nose to nose. When you send your child off to college, hopefully you no longer pick them up and put them in your arms. Hopefully they're as tall as you are, some cases taller, but you can hug them arm to arm now, face to face and cheek to cheek. They're able to come into your arms on their own. We are to grow up and be able to come into the presence of the Lord on our own. And stop only waiting for him to give us a supernatural experience. Okay? We grow up and do it. And he's telling us how it's done. But we have to do it. Are you guys with me? All right. I think I'm just going to stop here for now and not go any deeper because of the time. Because I want to have time for us to do the exercises. And I still want everyone that's watching the video or listening to us to be able to participate also, okay? So, we're going to do some exercises now. Guess is what we're going to do. We are going to come into the presence of God by faith, okay? And as we come into the presence of God by faith, I'm going to give you a couple of different ways to do it. So, I would encourage you that you practice all these ways because none of them is the secret. None of them is the end-all be-all. They're tools. But once you get trained, you will be able to go into the presence of God at will without any ifs, ands, or buts. You'll be able to stand right here and be talking to me, and you can go right into the presence of God yourself and still be doing things with him and be right here with us also. John chapter 3 said that Jesus was talking to Nicodemus and was in heaven. So he said in John chapter 3, if you look it up yourself, who was in John chapter 3, probably around verse 13. Let me look for you real quick if that's important to you. John chapter 3. Yeah, it's in verse 13. It says, no one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. So some people say, well, that who is in heaven isn't in all the manuscripts, so you can't really use that. Okay, I'll use this. No one has ascended into heaven but he who came down from heaven. Jesus just said he goes in and out of heaven. Even if we leave out who is in heaven, which some manuscripts that print, those four words are not there in some of the manuscripts. Most of them it is. All right, fine, forget that. He goes who has ascended to heaven but who came down from heaven. He didn't die yet. This is John chapter 3. This is the beginning of the story. This is Nicodemus he's talking to. When did he go to heaven? Huh. Interesting. He was going up and down. It says in John chapter 10 that he is the porter at the door, that he keeps the gate, that he's the herdsman or the shepherd, and that the sheep, you and me, go in and out of pasture, in and out. In and out. In and out. Just trying to stretch a little bit. I told you I'm going to take you off the edge of the cliff. Okay? Mount of Transfiguration. They walk up to the Mount of Transfiguration. And Jesus is standing there talking to whom? Moses and Elisha about the events that are going to take place. Okay? Hello? He hadn't died yet. He has the same Holy Spirit we have. He didn't do anything until he got baptized in the Holy Spirit. All right, for those of you that are in the flesh, that's tilt for you. Because the natural man cannot comprehend the things of the Spirit. They're foolishness to him. This is crazy talk to a natural-minded person whose whole focus is in the natural realm. All right? But these are exercises to help you to start expanding your spiritual awareness. There's a lot more available, but you got to wake up to participate in it. All right? And it takes practice and it takes exercise. I remember the first few times I was deliberately entering into heaven on my own. It is difficult at first. We need help at first. We don't believe it's real at first. It's different. If any of you have had the Lord bring you there, everything's vibrant and very alive and very colorful. And it's like, it's more real than anything on the planet. I mean, way, way, way more real than anything on the planet. But when we're starting out and we're the door and it's our imagination, our mind that has stayed on the Lord, and we're using the pictures that are on the inside of us to be the real, it's fuzzy and not as clear. And so you tend to think you're making it up and it's not real. But what's great is once you get started, the Lord takes over from his side and starts participating with you and teaching you and showing you how to continue in this revelation. I'm not even going to ask a show of hands how many of you think this is absolutely crazy talk. But I'm here to tell you it's not. I participate in it, and I'm going to continue to grow in it. You can't tell me it's not real. I've been there. I'm just letting you know that those of us whose mind is not stayed on the Lord, those of us who still have a double mind and we vacillate back and forth, spiritual's real, but natural's real, but spiritual's but natural, but spiritual, and we aren't set that the spiritual is the real, and the natural has to line up with the spiritual. We're just young. That's all. Don't get condemned. You're just young still, and your attention is mostly in this natural realm. That's all. You'll grow. You keep thinking about it. You keep doing it. And those little neural nets in your brain will start believing you and start building synapses to where you are actually able to discern spiritual things because you've been exercising your senses to be able to discern them. But if you've never been practicing this stuff, you don't have the neural nets to where your brain calls it real yet. So you're literally, it's foolishness in the beginning to your natural mind, unless you have some kind of light or revelation from the Lord. Okay? So I just tell you, just practice and let's just do it. So stand up. How exciting! This is great. This is good. Are you ready? So, this one somebody else showed me, and I think this is really great because it involves your physical body. This is not the end-all be-all, but it's great for your body. So what we're going to do is this. The spiritual realm is around us all the time. God is with us, right? Has Christ ever left any of us? He promised that he would never leave us and that he would never forsake us, right? So he's with us. Where's the glory of God? It's the mystery. It's in us. We're the doorway. We're the portal. We are the gate that opens, that we're the bridge between both worlds. Okay? It's in us. It's in the spirit. The natural mind says that's crazy, but the spiritual mind says, no. This is real. I just need to learn how to do it so I can access this. That's all. So what we do is we teach ourselves. We're standing here. You're in this natural world. Take one step forward. As you take one step forward, it can only be a couple inches, whatever works for you. You can put your calves on the back of the pew and then step forward to the front of the pew. Doesn't matter. Just take one step. You can step out in the aisle. Just step back. Take one step forward. Take one step back. Everybody can do that? Okay. So this is the veil right here in front of you. On this side, you're in the natural realm. When you take one step forward, do this. Open the curtain. Step through. Close the curtain behind you. Grab the curtain. Open the curtain. Step back through. Close the curtain. Okay? This is an exercise for your imagination. It's what we're doing, is working on your imagination, because your imagination is where your conception starts. It's where real life starts from. Okay? So all we're doing is we're stepping back, we open the curtain, we step through, we close the curtain behind us. In this place, this is the realm of heaven. This is the throne of God. This is the presence of God himself. Okay? Just tell yourself that. Reach back, grab the curtain, open the curtain, step back through, close the curtain. Our goal is when we come back to this spot, we take what we got from heaven and we bring it back with us to earth. Okay? When we open the curtain, we step through, close the curtain behind us. When we talk to the Lord, when we see what he shows us, whatever we participate in, our purpose is to hold on to that, to own that, and then to bring it back with us and carry it throughout our day. Okay? You can do this 10,000 times a day. I'm going to give you other exercises, but this is one that's physical. What it does is it starts teaching your body, because I'll tell you what, your brain right now is going, this is stupid. This isn't real. I can't trust in that. What are you talking about? You're in heaven. That's what your natural mind does. But it's wild and crazy. It's still producing neural nets. It's still believing you when you do it. So the more you engage in it, in your mind, The same one that's setting your mind on things above, do it. When you step through, you've just set your mind on heaven. You just set your heart in the presence of God. You just set the reality of heaven being real to you now. Ready? So now, when we step through, I'm going to pray. And you follow me, okay? You don't have to say what I say, but I want you to hear what I'm saying, okay? Then you can follow me the second time. Are you ready? Open the curtain. Step through into the presence of God. Close the curtain. Father, we just acknowledge you here in this place, Lord. Father, we acknowledge this is your realm. This is the realm of the Spirit and of the kingdom of God. Father, our eyes seek your face. We seek a personal audience with you, Lord. You who are our Father, our teacher, our instructor, our comforter, our guide. You lead us into the ways of righteousness and godliness. Father, we desire to glean all that you have to show us here in this realm, and that the reality of this realm increase in our hearts and our minds, Lord. That we can walk with you in your presence everywhere we go, everything we do, Lord. Father, we honor you and we glorify you as God. We resign ourselves and submit ourselves to your leading. That we, Lord, have made a decision to obey you, Father, as you speak to us and you teach us. And Father, as we resign ourselves to you as God and as our Most High, we desire, Father, to grow into your likeness and your image, to actually be aware of all that you have for us. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Father, we honor you as I open the curtain and I step back through and I praise your holy name and I close it. You do that a few times, and it gets realer and realer and realer. See, an aspect of the Spirit is this, is that angels are here right now, but you just don't have eyes to see them. It's not up to them to show themselves. It's up to us to be tuned in to see them. But as we start building the neural nets in the Spirit and our physical brains starts wiring for seeing in the Spirit, things will start appearing and you'll start being able to participate actually in heavenly things. So let's do it again. This time, say what I say when I go in. To yourself, between you and the Lord, I'm just leading. You can make up your own as you go, but this time just follow me. So I open the curtain by faith. I step in and I close the drape behind me. As I close my eyes and raise my hands to the Lord, I say this, Father, in the name of Jesus, I come to you by faith. Open my spiritual eyes. Open my spiritual ears. Open all that is me, that I may fellowship with you. I ask, Heavenly Father, that I would see you face to face. That I'd be able to come to you and hold you and learn from you and talk with you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for teaching me, for showing me, for imparting into me the reality of who you are. Lord, teach me, show me, be with me. I desire to take all that I receive in this realm and bring it with me back into the natural realm. Lord, show me how to open the door and have it remain open, that I may walk through it freely and spend time with you whenever I desire. Lord, open my ears that when you call me, that I would come quickly, Lord. that I would listen for your voice, that I would open my eyes to see all that you have for me. Lord, I ask you to protect me, that as I'm here in your presence, no evil thing, no threatening thing, and no condemnation has any part in this reality. I am completely yours, Father, and I resign myself completely to your leading. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Father, as I reach back and open the drape, I step through the door, and I bring with you all that you gave to me, and I close the gate. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. All right? It's on the recording, so you can go ahead and do it and listen to it again and practice. Go ahead and come back to your seats. And those of you that are listening online or that are watching by video, I encourage you, practice, 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 practice. Practice makes what? Perfect. The fact is, God already made you perfect, but we have to walk it out to where we believe it, because this is by faith. It is foolishness, absolute absurdity to a carnal person. Okay? But as spiritual, we're commanded to come into the presence of God. Okay? All right. Next exercise. You can do this seating down. Go ahead. So, this exercise, you can do sitting in a chair, sitting on the side of your bed, laying in your bed. This one doesn't require you to physically move. I encourage you to physically move, though, most of the time, until you get good at going in and out. Only because the physical movement does something in your brain that starts calling it real, because it's actually able to connect to the movement. So it gives it a starting point of building from there. Okay? Opening your eyes in the spirit. Some people are just gifted with it. They've always been able to see, and they always did. But the rest of us have to learn how to do it. It's available for everyone. Just a little side note. God gifts people with things so that the rest of us can know they're available. It's not because they're special. Okay? It's because they have a propensity for that. And so it's more easy for them to just not resist it. And that way the rest of us can know we can do that. All right, I'm going to wrap up real quick. So the second one is sitting quietly. The Bible says to be still and know that I am God. Okay? You're allowed to just sit quietly and come right into the presence of God by just sitting there. And open up your heart and your mind and just start desiring to see his face, desiring to come into his presence. And whatever pictures start popping up, go with it. Don't hold the reins and try to make something happen. Perlene and I were just talking earlier that sometimes I sit there and I pray in tongues, I read my Bible, I rejoice, I stand up, I sit down, and nothing happens. It feels like I can't connect. I go take my shower and boom, 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 boom. He just starts showing me all kinds of stuff because I stopped trying. I prepared myself, but I let go of it, okay? So don't hold on to it. It's like breathing, you guys. As soon as I mention breathing, everybody usually grabs a hold of their breath. And now they're aware of their breathing, and now they have some form of holding it and releasing it. But when you forget, all of a sudden, you'll start breathing normal again when you take your attention off of your breath. Right? Same way with this. It's go, but don't control it. Go for the face of God, for the kingdom of God. And if you're always going for the Lord and setting your attention on things above and not on the things of this world, you have no fear of any darkness or demonic or bad spiritual influences having anything to do with you, because you're the door and you're opening the door into the presence of the kingdom of God. Okay? So I just want to give you that comfort. And if by some weird and freaky chance something does try to come, believe me, they ain't got nothing on Jesus, not one little bit. Because that's exactly where we go to. I just want to comfort you, that's not going to be an issue. All right? So sitting quietly. Here's the last one you can do. This one is excellent, but it's different. So it's a breathing exercise. When you're walking, when you're doing something, you can do this. Because what we're doing is practicing the presence of God. We're practicing being aware of God with us. Being aware of the kingdom of God. And as I show you these many different ways of doing it, it starts building on the inside of you the realness of it. And then your senses will wake up to that, and then you'll be able to really participate with great confidence, because it's the real you is waking up. So here's breathing in and breathing out. So what the Bible says is that we are filled with the glory of God, right? That's the mystery. I want to let you know, in heaven, it's glory, not oxygen. Just want to let you know, it's not oxygen in heaven. You're outside of this natural world in the spirit. It's glory. Our cells will be filled with glory, and the glory of God will rise in us like the noonday sun and shine forth from us, right? In heaven, there'll be no need of the sun and the moon. Why? Because the glory of the Lamb will be the light of heaven. There will be no shadow in heaven because the glory of the Lamb is there. We are created for obtaining of the glory of God, that His glory is what is going to raise us up, right? From His Spirit, His glory is what's going to raise us up. His glory is what's going to raise us up. You guys have heard of my dream that I had? Vivid as anything. I was talking to these ladies, and this first lady, I was talking to her, and there was two more ladies on this couch, and there was light shining in on their faces. You can see the light shining across them. As I'm talking to this lady, all of a sudden, man, inside of me, something just started burning bright and bright. Not burning like burning bad. I mean like growing and alive. And this life was coming inside of me, and this joy that is, I have never experienced this joy. It had a life of its own. And the lady looks at me and goes, "What's happening?" I said, "Jesus is coming right now." And I could feel Him coming. And as I felt Him coming, the glory was getting brighter and brighter and brighter. And the life of God was filling me up. And I want to let you know, at that moment, as I'm looking at her and that's happening to me, and I could feel Him coming from right over there, coming right down, as I can feel that happening, there, that life was an entirely different life than anything I've ever experienced on this earth. This earth became the dream, and all the thoughts and all the troubles and all the worries literally did not exist anymore. Just like when you have a vivid dream and you wake up, by the time you're done brushing your teeth, you don't even think of the dream again. It's gone. You may have had it right for a few seconds when you woke up, but it's gone now. Same way all these troubles are going to be. That's the real life of God. And we all are going to live in that, fully live in that. So let me tell you, breathing in and breathing out. As you walk, you breathe in the glory of God. And then breathe out the glory of God. Breathe in the glory of God. And breathe out. And just breathe in. I said it wrong the first time. You just breathe in the glory of God and just breathe out everything of this world. Until you see it like stoking the fire of the glory of God inside of you. And the sun getting brighter and brighter. And the reality that you are the vessel of God, that you carry the glory and the presence of God. And as you do that, you can be fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit as you're doing that. And you breathe in the presence of God. And breathe out all the unbelief and all the things of this world. Breathe in the glory breathe out the things of this world. And as you do that, what you're doing is you're training your invisible person to participate in these heavenly things. Are you with me? Line by line, precept by precept, here a little, there a little, is what it says in the Bible. And as we do that, bit by bit, the reality, the realness of it will grow and grow and grow to where you will have more confidence in the Spirit than you ever had in the flesh. And then when God shows you or tells you something, you will believe it so much more than anything that comes out of that person's mouth. Because you can trust in the Lord who tells the truth and shows you things you never knew. Are you with me? That was a lot. For those of you that are online or have been videoed or listening, thank you for sticking with us and going through this. And I just encourage every one of you and everyone there to practice these things. So let me just quickly go over the exercises we have done so far. We have started out by journaling, getting in the presence of God, getting settled down in His presence, asking Him a question, seeing what He says to us, and we write down what He says. We are not doing yes and no life-changing questions. We're just doing generic things. Lord, what do you want me to do today? Lord, what do you think of me? Lord, what do you want to say to me today? Those kinds of things. And learn how to hear the voice of God. We've also been practicing how to pray in the Spirit, how to build yourself up in your most holy faith, not necessarily for a word for somebody else, but for you to be built up in your most holy faith, you to be edified, you to be built up in your spiritual person. Praying in tongues does that. We've learned how to study the Bible and how to look at verses and glean the light of God out of those verses. We eat it like food. We read it slow and steady, and when something quickens us or gets our attention or leaps off the page or somehow has more life on it than what we've been reading, we focus in on that with the Holy Spirit and let Him show us what He wants to reveal to us out of that. That's the spiritual food of the Word. Now, you can still read the Bible, and it can still be a great history book. It can still be a cultural learning experience. It can be a great genealogy. But none of that brings the light of heaven into you. But if you'll do that, that will start changing you without any effort on your part, just by reading in the Bible and letting God reveal light to you out of the Bible. Okay? And then we've done these exercises. We've learned also how to speak by faith, how to use the Scriptures and speak by faith over situation, and how to get verses that'll prove to our heart that it's God's will for us to have these things, and it's right for us to have these things, so that we can have complete confidence that we know that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us and we have what we ask for. And since we have it, we have it in the spiritual realm. It's a done deal. And I use the example of Amazon. When I buy something on Amazon, as soon as it sends me a confirmation receipt, I no longer am the one that brings it to me. It's not my responsibility to get it to me. I got my confirmation. I got my yes. Now it's up to another agency to get it to me. But I know I have it, but I'm still waiting for it to show up in my presence, okay? And that's when we do by faith. We speak by faith, and when we know we've got our yes, it's a done deal. I don't need to ask anymore because I know I've got it. But I've got to know I've got it. How many of you would shop on Amazon and you got your confirmation email and your credit card or debit card got debited and they took your payment, but you never know if they're going to send it or not? You wouldn't use Amazon very much, I guarantee you. It's the fact that you know you're going to get it. And that's where we all need to teach ourselves to get to, that whatever we call real in this world now, We take our hands off of that. Quit judging that. Quit calling it real. We forgive it. We release it. We let it go. And we are willing to let it change so that what we're believing God for can be in our presence. Amen? We learned that last week. And then this week, how to step in by faith into the presence of the Lord, to come into his secret place, to be the door that opens by lifting our heads up with confidence and boldness to come into the presence of God. Amen? It also says in Hebrews that we come with a new and living way into the throne room of God. By a new and living way, we come into the throne room of God. And that's what we're doing, a new and living way, by stepping through by faith into that thing. And as I said, as you do it often and keep it up, it'll get realer and realer, and you get much more dramatic results. Amen? Love you guys. Thank you.